Right here, I'm here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and on the line with me this afternoon is Congressman Joe Wilson from down in that Lexington area. How you doing today, Joe?
Well, Ann, it's great to be with you, and I want to wish you, your wonderful listeners, a happy Thanksgiving. Our family is looking forward to getting together tonight, and so I'm actually at home, and goodness gracious, my wife Roxanne's done a great job. I can smell the pecan pies, the pumpkin pies, the turkey. It's going to be a great evening.
I just want to know, is she going to let you eat them, though?
Oh, she is. And, hey, she's it's a team effort. I'm really proud of her. She and her mother are just really going all out. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving for our family.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, that's what Thanksgiving is all about, getting together with families and having that time. The only thing that bothers me is it looks like we're going to start shopping more on Thanksgiving with all the early openings to try to make a dollar.
Well, and that's unfortunate because it should focus on family. And I know that for us, our focus, we have a new granddaughter, Sally Willoughby Wilson, and she was born June the 30th. And so it's going to be really special with the first Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. And, of course, Thanksgiving is such a good time to get together with family and friends. But, you know, we just had an election, Joe, and you, of course, didn't have any opposition, so you're back up there in Washington. Last week y'all were up there, and what do you get as a sense on how things are going to go up there? I mean, I've heard President Obama's first press conference that he had, and I was a little surprised at how, I'll use the word, harsh he was.
So was I, Ann, and we really do have the fiscal cliff facing the American people. That is record tax increases, extraordinary destructive defense cuts. The Secretary of Defense has said this will hollow out our military. And then we also have the Obamacare taxes that are kicking in. And this, according to the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB, could destroy 1.6 million jobs. So we can't avoid now the Obamacare taxes. I wish we could, but we there should be an effort to make sure the taxes don't go up and that the cuts to our military don't take place.
But, you know, my question is, since the House is still the House with its Republican majority, and the president is still the same president, and the Senate is still basically the same makeup in the Senate, and we've seen how hard it is for anybody to give up there. How's it going to come together, Joe?
Well, I'm very concerned because from a liberal perspective, the tax increase, the cut to defense, actually fits within their ideology. Also, we only found out during the campaign that I did not know, and I didn't know who to attribute it to, the whole issue of sequestration. But according to Bob Woodward in his book that he's written about the Obama administration, this he acknowledges and indicates that it came from the White House. And so I'm very concerned that there's not negotiation in good faith.
Well, I was listening to some talker. I can't remember. Maybe it was Rush. And he was saying that actually going off the fiscal cliff kind of fits with President Obama's agenda here.
I'm concerned it could, and because they really do favor more taxes. It's power to the politicians. When the citizens lose their tax money and it goes to politicians, and then the politicians can determine how to spend the money, it empowers politicians. And so it seems illogical. But sadly, from a political perspective, politicians like it. Sadly, the consequences for the American people, and that is it destroys jobs, because if there's not money in the private sector, if small businesses can't have money to grow and make investments, then people lose their jobs.
Absolutely. And the person that was talking said that that this then would not impact the social issues that are there with Social Security and Medicare, et cetera, but it would affect the military. So I thought that was very interesting.
Well, it's sad because we can see where our enemies around the world are acting in a very negative and aggressive way. Sadly, our ally in the Middle East, Israel, has come under attack by really Iranian missiles that are provided to Hamas in Gaza, Iranian rockets being provided to Hezbollah to attack the Golan Heights of Israel. And I'm glad for any effort, and I do want to commend the president for standing by Israel. The trouble is that such an indication of weakness has already been expressed, that this is why I believe that Israel is under attack today.
Because of?
An appearance of weakness.
From the United States?
Yes, by the United States, cutting back on our defenses at a time of war, reducing the Army by 80,000 personnel, reducing the Marine Corps by 20,000 personnel. This will have a direct impact in the communities of the Savannah River, in that we'll have, sadly, a reduction in force that will affect Fort Gordon.
So, Congressman Joe Wilson, what can be done about this, or is it just going to happen and this is what we got to take here?
Well, I know that we'll keep fighting. I'm particularly grateful for the leadership of Congressman Jeff Duncan. He has been standing firm and has gotten a lot of attention on the issue of Benghazi. And I'm very proud of Jeff, also Senator Lindsey Graham, raising the issues of how the weakness that's been exhibited there, that sadly indicated, or I think by not providing an immediate response to rescue our personnel. We lost Ambassador Chris Stevens. We lost three other very brave American heroes. We've also, and another occurrence is that on November the 1st, before the election, the Iranians, through Russian jets, attacked an American drone that was clearly in international waters. This is a provocation, an indication that our enemies around the world do not take us seriously.
Well, you know, you're not giving me any hope here, Joe. Do we have any hope?
Well, the hope is that I give a lot of credit to talk radio. What has occurred is that the mainstream media didn't cover Benghazi at all.
Right.
And that was heartbreaking to me because these are four brave American heroes who requested help. I'm sure that they thought help was coming. We actually have military personnel within an hour, within 2 hours. The attack on the consulate in Benghazi and took 6 hours.
Yep.
So we had time. There should have been an immediate response. There's been just all kind of obfuscation, and sadly, America's ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, actually came up with utterly fabricated information, claiming that there was a protest. There was no protest, claiming it was based on a protest of a video. The video had nothing to do.
You know, I think that's one of the things that's been coming out of Petraeus testifying, is the fact that he knew it was a terrorist attack and that it's been changed. And isn't that really the question of who changed the talking points and why?
And what was provided to her, and certainly she should have questioned, because I know that on September the 11th, that an attack of that day would be really to celebrate the mass murder of 3,000 Americans. It was not an accident. It was not a protest of a video. It was a celebration, an indication that these terrorists have every intent to attack our country at every opportunity.
Well, I guess we have all these things going on, but I don't see any pushback from, I mean, I see everybody. Congressman Trey Gowdy said that it's fine that they testified behind closed doors, but after the first of the year, they're going to have to come out in front of the cameras, that this is a murder investigation. I couldn't agree with him more on that. But I also think that, is there any hope of any decisions being made before Christmas? What is it? You have 12 days when you go back, and then it's done, and is there any feeling? You know, after the election, everybody seemed to be all huggy-huggy and kissy-kissy that this was going to happen. And now I guess my question is, after being up there for a few days, what do you feel is the reaction? Is there going to be a deal worked out, or are we just going to pass it till the next session and then start working on it? Because, you know, the American public and business people are really scared and don't know what plan to make for the future. And unfortunately, when you don't know what plan to make, you do nothing.
And, I'm really concerned because I was not huggy-huggy. I was concerned, and that's why I didn't vote for it, and that's why Jeff Duncan didn't vote for it. That's why Trey Gowdy, you have listeners in his district, and Paul Brown across the river. None of us voted for this irresponsible bill that was actually the sequestration portion of it, which was a debt ceiling vote. That came from the White House. And so the White House should have responsibility, and they should come in and have an alternative. The House has voted, and five times, to address this issue. And we voted over and over again to address sequestration, to avoid the fiscal cliff. And again, I want to credit Jeff Duncan. The U.S. Senate has not voted on this at all. In fact, Jeff points out that the U.S. Senate has not voted on a budget in 3 years.
I know they haven't, and I guess that's why, with everything still basically the same, is there any way that anybody is going to get together on this and make a deal? I talked to Senator Lindsey Graham, and he said he would support some patch through the first of the year to be able to get there, as long as it didn't include, revenue increases or whatever it needs to be. The tax code needs to be reformed. But I'm just curious what your feeling is from the congressional side. Is there just frustration, or is Boehner just going to say, look, this is the deal, and then a group is going to vote against it, and nothing's going to happen?
Well, I'm concerned, but we have addressed it five times in the U.S. House, and we are working together. Fortunately, we do have Lindsey Graham. We have Jim DeMint, who are fighting for the taxpayers. When we get back, and we go back next Tuesday, it'll become, I think, much more clear. But it needs to be addressed. We're talking about truly affecting American families' jobs. We're affecting the ability of our country to defend itself for our troops. I've got four sons serving in the military. I take this very personally, and one of my sons is in the Saluda Engineer National Guard unit. So it's very personal to me. This needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. And, of course, what was it, last Friday, we had a Greer soldier was killed in Afghanistan.
Yes, and that's why we must have the best equipment. We must have the best intelligence. The symbolism, sadly, of Benghazi, of the failure of this administration in terms of its Middle East policy, is, and now the subsequent mass attacks on our ally Israel, the terror, and think of families with rockets that are coming now even into Tel Aviv. And clearly these are being provided by Iran. Iran is the country which is causing the instability because they feel that through instability they can expand their influence.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think about what General Allen went back over there to Afghanistan? He, of course, we have a lot of, when you get sex involved, everybody gets interested. And we have a lot of interest in this case now, but General Petraeus and all the Benghazi, and we have all this running around here. What do you think is going to be the final offshoot of all this?
Well, I'm obviously very, very disappointed. A hero of mine has been General Petraeus. I'm so disappointed. Sadly, it's been a diversion from the tragedy of Benghazi. Four Americans losing their lives, persons who were should anticipate the proper intelligence where it shouldn't have occurred in the first place. There were two other attacks on Benghazi on our consulate during the course of this year, so it should not be a surprise that there would be a third attack. That's what happened, even with the World Trade Center in New York. There was an earlier attack, and then there was a subsequent attack, killing and massacring thousands of Americans. These people are very determined. They have every intent to destroy our civilization. And mass murder, every Israeli, every American, when they carry signs in English that say, death to America, death to Israel. That's what they mean.
Well, who do you think bears the ultimate responsibility for Benghazi?
Well, to me, it should go to the President of the United States. The information, I believe, as we find out more, was provided to him almost as the events were unfolding. And we need to find out what decisions he made. In fact, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Buck McKeon, sent him a letter and asked him to explain. He said that he asked for immediate action. Was that verbally? Was it in writing? And what was the consequence?
Right. So, we think we're ever going to get to the bottom of this?
I do, and I sadly, though, there is obstructionism. Last week, I served on the Foreign Affairs Committee with Congressman Duncan, and Jeff and I were there with Chairwoman Ileana Ross-Leighton, and we had anticipated the Secretary of State to appear, but she was not available, and so they sent a really lower-level person and who really had no knowledge of virtually anything. And it was just very sad that the administration would not send personnel to explain how sad this is, the murder of four American heroes in Libya.
Well, I certainly hope we do get to the bottom of it, and I hope we can put the appropriate blame, shall we say, where it belongs. Now, you know, moving on to another subject, Eric Holder says he's going to stay on for the next term. What do you feel about that with all the things that have happened there?
Well, it's very disappointing to me because we know that he has acted improperly a number of times, particularly for those of us in South Carolina. We should be aware that he objected to our voter ID law, and fortunately the courts ruled in favor of South Carolina that beginning next year we can have a photo ID law. And this is so sad to me, Ann. It should be obviously that where we have a photo ID to get into the Department of Justice, we have a photo ID for anybody to go into the White House. We have a photo ID to receive or purchase pharmaceuticals. And so we know virtually every American citizen has a photo ID, and then there were safeguards in the event that somebody didn't. But it really concerns me about fair and honest elections in our country.
You know, bringing that up, Congressman Joe Wilson, down there in Lexington, gosh, what a mess they had down there.
Well, it was not Lexington. Sadly, it was Columbia.
It was Richland
County, and this is totally inexcusable. I spoke to a poll manager today, and he said that at his precinct there were four voting machines for about 1,000 voters, and that three of them didn't work. And then when there would be a person come an invalid, they would take the machine out. There'd be no machine for people to vote. And then it was discovered that hundreds of ballots had been placed in a side room, that there were two different forms of absentee ballots that couldn't be run through the machines and be legible. It was a spectacle. People were in line, and for 7 hours.
I know.
And I remember because I stood in front of the precinct that day shaking hands. It was very cold. It was windy.
So why would we have something like this at this late date in our history here, Joe? It seems kind of unbelievable to me.
There will be a thorough investigation, but Richland County, the Election and Registration Commission is going to be thoroughly investigated. There is sadly, many people believe that the reason for the lack of voting machines is that they were not placed in precincts that would vote against a one-cent sales tax increase for the intent of trying to discourage people from voting on that issue.
for that issue?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Well, the 1 cent sales tax increase was actually $1 billion. So the politicians, many of them, had a real vested interest in the sales tax increase passing.
Wow.
But fortunately, Lexington doesn't have that sales tax. So when people from Greenwood come to the Midlands, be sure that you shop in Lexington County.
Yeah, that's right. Keep those dollars flowing, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Joe Wilson, you know, the just for the record, what do you think we're looking for next year? I mean, you know, if sequestration passes and comes to fruition, they're talking about us going into another recession. We're just in such a fragile point with everything going on. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I'm hopeful that cool heads will prevail. I know that, again, the Republicans in the House have voted 5 times to address this. We will be there to address it. We will pass legislation, and I hope that the President and the Senate will accept it.
Well, you know, I do, too. And but so do you think that Republicans are going to move a little bit in order to make this come together?
Well, by closing loopholes, we've already indicated that we would. And so we will oppose tax increases. But there are methods of limiting different loopholes that can yield tax revenue without increasing taxes.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling us in this afternoon. I know you're looking forward to that dinner tonight, and I certainly hope when you go back up there to Washington that we can get something done so that people can celebrate the holidays and the first of the year and not be wondering what was going to happen next.
Absolutely. And, Ann, thank you so much for raising all these issues. You do such a service for the people throughout, actually, Western South Carolina, so and even people in Georgia. So thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless, and happy Thanksgiving, Congressman Joe Wilson.
God bless. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.